Welcome to the Breathing God podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Rodriguez. Hello, everyone. Welcome to season 3 of the Breathing God podcast. Wow, that's amazing. I never thought I'd ever want to do a podcast, and here we are in season 3. For those of you who heard my last podcast episode in December of 2023, I told you that I was going to be praying about whether or not the Lord wanted me to continue. And good news, I'm happy too. The Lord said, yes, keep going. So here we are. And I want to get started because I have lots of scripture I want to read today. I have such an encouraging word. This, I think, is really going to bless you. It has blessed me. It honestly has changed my life and helped me to see that these wilderness seasons, these desert, dry, weary land seasons, are not exactly the curse we think them to be. Not when the Spirit of God has led us into them. So I want to start by, let me remind you this. I really encourage you, I think probably every episode, while you're listening, try not to be too busy. Sit down, soak in the presence of God that comes through this message. And if you're listening to it and you're driving or you are busy and you're kind of half paying attention, come back and listen to it again, where you could really open your heart to Jesus, open your heart to the Holy Spirit. And say, speak to me. What are you saying to me through this episode? Because I felt so strongly in my heart that he had this to say to you today. So I want to start with Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. But I want to read it in the Passion Translation because I love how Brian has interpreted it. And I'm not going to read all of 6 through 10. I might skip around a little bit. But I want to start with verse 6. It says, in the same way you received Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. I just love that part. You're established in the faith that you have absorbed. In other words, yeah, I'm not going to preach that one because I got a lot to say. Let's go on to verse 9, I think it is. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness, pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of the world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. Now listen to this. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. And I think it's the New King James. It simply says that we are complete in Christ. So if we're complete in him, why do we so often feel incomplete, unhappy, unfulfilled? I want to suggest today that maybe it's because we are looking, just like the world does, for other things to fulfill us, other things to complete us. And you know, this is a hard one because the truth is we do need love from people, right? We need friends, we need community. I mean, these things are so incredibly important. And God meets us through people all the time. He manifests his love through others all the time. But none of these outward relationships are meant to define us. I mean, we might feel, you know, alive and amazing and feel a sense of belonging, and that's great, and we should. But our identity, the core of who we actually are, is defined by Him and should only be defined by Him. So what does that mean? You know, people say that all the time. Your identity is in Him. I want to say that only God really knows us. And even if He looks at us and sees a big mess, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm just a big mess. God, I so really need you. Even when He looks at us and He sees that, He says, you're a chosen one. You're royalty. You're my beloved. You are a priest, a holy kingdom. Like you are beautiful. You know, Song of Solomon, the Shulamite says, I am dark, but lovely. So when we find our completeness, our identity in Him, we begin to see ourselves and our lives in an entirely new light. We see ourselves as lovely. We don't forget about the fact that without Him, we are a mess. That yes, we are dark. We need to have a Savior. We needed to be rescued. Without Him, we are a big fat mess, right? But we find our identity in the truth of how He sees us. And He doesn't see us or define us as a great big mess. He sees us through the eyes of love, perfect, a perfect partner for Jesus. He sees us as redeemed, as righteous because of Him. And the truth is that we're not going to be at peace in our lives until we feel complete, or maybe I can use the word content. That's a word that the Lord's been speaking to me a lot lately. Content and complete in Him more than anyone or anything else. He wants us to come to this place of inner freedom where, you know, it's also called in some circles, they also call it indifference. And that doesn't mean like a negative attitude kind of thing. It's an inner freedom. It's like nothing, I'm not so attached to anything in my life that it's holding my heart more than He does. Inner freedom is coming to the place where nothing holds our heart more than He does, has our hearts, has our attention more than He does. This is inner freedom. So we're never holding on tightly to the way we want things to be, the things we're believing for. No, I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to do it a different way. Now, I'm not talking about the promises He's given us in His word. I'm not saying you should let go of those, but I'm saying our way, our will, our fight to have things exactly the way we want them instead of embracing what He wants for us. Okay, let me say, God, if this is your desire, God loves to help us with it. He loves to help us to be free. But very often He does it by drawing us into the wilderness. And I don't know about you, but if you're anything like I will say was, because I'm so seeing this in a different way now. I hated even hearing messages about the desert seasons, the wilderness seasons. I hated it. I'd never even wanted to talk about it because I had spent so much time there that it was like talking about a curse, you know? Until very recently, I saw it in a much different light. And I want to read to you Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 and verses 19 and 20. Oh, this is so good. He says, now listen to Him saying this to you in love, in compassion, with a smile on His face. He says, therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the desert, into the wilderness, sorry, and speak comfort to her. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Isn't that just so amazing? I think it's funny how Jesus gets so excited about things that feel so hard to us. I'll go on to that in a second, but I want to say this before I forget. When I'm talking about the desert seasons, the wilderness seasons, I want to make sure you understand, I'm not talking about times where you're sick, you know, where you're so living in, you know, don't call a sinful, how do I say this? God doesn't tempt us with sin. God doesn't put sickness on us, okay? He doesn't. But he does test our heart. He does test it in the wilderness. He wants to refine us in the fire. And man, it does sometimes hurt. But the good news is that we're not alone in the wilderness, even if it feels that way sometimes. And sometimes, especially when it comes to things like sickness or, you know, just some really hard seasons that definitely weren't initiated by God, he steps in to redeem those times and he gives us beauty for ashes. Sometimes he leads us to wilderness seasons, but sometimes it's the enemy and then he steps in to redeem it. Yeah. And the times that he leads us into wilderness, I'm going to be honest, I've looked at those seasons like punishment. I'd never actually said that to God. I never said, "Why are you punishing me?" But I felt it. Maybe it would be more accurate to say, and maybe you can relate. Sometimes it kind of felt like God was ignoring me. He wouldn't answer me. I wouldn't hear anything, but I would feel his presence. And even sometimes I wouldn't feel it that much, but it has taken me years, a lot of years, you guys, and a lot of wilderness seasons to finally understand that it isn't punishment. Listen, this is what's going to encourage you. It is an invitation to deeper intimacy with him. Ugh, and I'm going to give a very, you know me, I like to be very honest and share true examples of my life because I have heard from you how much it has ministered to you and helped you find solutions to your, you know, own situations. I'm going to be honest and tell you that for me, the most recent thing that I've been walking through is living here in Texas. I know some of you who live in Texas love it here, but I'm a nature girl. I love either give me a beach area to live where I can walk the beach and see the sunset, you know, all these things, sunrise, or give me mountains and rivers and pine trees, you know, give me nature. And so we moved here to Texas and I'm not sure what I thought was gonna be like, but it isn't anything like what I thought. And we're kind of struggling to find community and it's been a challenge. But the reason I'm telling you that is because he really corrected me about complaining and not seeing this season that I'm here the way he sees it. And this is what I want to share with you because it's so, everything I'm sharing with you today, all the scriptures are so vitally important, but this one moment really blessed me and I believe it's going to bless you. He was talking to me about the fact that I haven't found contentment or completeness in him during this season. But when he was talking to me about how he drew me here into this wilderness that I call Texas, he had this look of excitement on his face. And I thought, why are you so happy about this? Like, why are you so happy? And he reminded me that he was drawing me into a time of being set apart with him, a time where I didn't have a lot of outside, you know, outside ministry, outside having ministry stuff to do. I didn't have a lot to do as far as community and friends and outings with people and, you know, just being involved with the community because he wanted me to be with him. Sometimes he draws us outside of what feels very comfortable to ourselves, where we're stuck maybe at home for a while, stuck without all the fun things to do, because He misses us. He loves us. He wants to be with us. He wants to answer our prayer to know Him more. And the expression on Jesus' face was like, aren't you excited too? Like, don't you feel so loved? It humbled me, and it kind of hurt my heart to think that He was so excited to draw us into these times so that we could be with Him and get to know Him more. And yet He looks at us sometimes and goes, aren't you excited too? We're together. Like, this season isn't going to last forever. You'll start getting a little bit more busy. And yes, we should always have our prayer times and our times alone with Him every day. Right? If you're not, you guys know this podcast enough to know that, you know, that's my jam. That's what I'm teaching you guys. Be with Jesus. Be alone with Him a lot. Pay attention to Him throughout the day. So I'm not talking about that, but when He gives you extra time, it's precious to Him. Oh, doesn't that just change the way you see this wilderness time? Okay, I want to read you another scripture from Isaiah 35, verses 3 through 8 in the New King James. And it says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Right now, where you are in this wilderness, if you're there, this is for you. If you're not there, remember this when you are. He is the stream in the desert. He is the pool. He is our refreshing. And He will make a way. And it is a way that leads to greater holiness in Him, if I can say it that way. Deeper intimacy with Him. You know, so often we pray, Lord, I surrender all. I want to know You. Oh, God, I want to be free. Make Yourself real. Help me, God. I give it all to You. I want everything of You. We say these things, and He believes us. And He goes, great. Okay, come on. Come on. I know exactly where I want to take you to answer that prayer. And He takes us to the desert. He takes us to the wilderness. And these seasons, you know, they force all that stuff, all the crud, it forces it to come to the surface. You know, that refiner's fire, where the refining gold, and it comes to the surface, the dross, the crud comes to the surface so He can scrape it off. He wants us to face these fears, to face the temptations, to face and see what's getting in the way of our relationship with Him, a deeper relationship with Him, because He wants you to be closer to Him. I'm thinking of Song of Songs again, where she comes out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved. But let me tell you something. You have a choice in the wilderness. We all have a choice here. You can complain and try to figure out how to get out of it, you know, like instead of giving everything to Him. You fight and you try to fix and you're like, okay, I have to do this. I have to get out of it. This is horrible. And sometimes He'll let you out just because He's compassionate. But then you're not coming out in power. That's the whole point. When the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days, He faced a lot of opposition. He faced a lot of stuff, right? But He came out in power. We're not meant to come out limping. We're meant to come out in power. That's the purpose of this. Our intimacy with Him makes us strong. Or you can, you know, instead of complaining and coming out limping, you can lean into him. Find something to be thankful for. Worship him, even if you can barely do it. Sing, you know, like I just read about the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Not that we're dumb, but you know what I'm saying. Be thankful. Give him your weakness. If the only thing you have to give him is a gift of weakness, give him your gift of weakness. Give him everything of you. Lean on him. Listen to him. Listen to him. And let it go. I want to tell you a story if I have enough time, but let me keep going and I'll go back to the story if I have time. I want to say that this isn't a one and done thing. You don't go into the wilderness one time in your life. He brings us back there. He brings us back every so often to fine tune us so that, you know, in all the different seasons, we can go even deeper. So I want to read one more scripture. And then if there's time, I will tell you another story. Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 21. And this isn't the Passion. This is the Passion Translation. Stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember these former things. I'm doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. For I supply streams of water in the desert and rivers in the wilderness to satisfy the thirst of my people, my chosen ones, so that you, whom I have shaped and formed for myself, will proclaim my praise. Isn't that beautiful? You are his chosen one. He has shaped and formed you for himself. I encourage you, instead of looking at this hard season as a punishment, look at it as a blessing, because it's causing you to lean into him. And if you've been pushing him away and if you've been angry and complaining, just ask him to forgive you. That's all you have to do. God, I'm sorry. This is the hardest thing I've ever faced, and I'm sorry that I'm complaining, and I need you. I need you, and I'm leaning on you. Have my life. You shaped me. You formed me. You chose me. And even if you are in a season where you know, well, this isn't a God wilderness, this is an attack of the enemy. And so, yeah, I'm not going to be happy about it. No, you don't have to be happy about the attack, but he is your completeness. He is your contentment. He is the one that you find joy in. So remember that in the midst of this really difficult time, he's with you and he will make a way. He is your fountain of living waters. He is the well that never, ever runs dry. He is your life and your love, and he is faithful, and he will show himself strong on your behalf. And one super quick story, because I like to keep these under 30 minutes. A personal testimony of this: when we lived in Puerto Rico as missionaries, we were there a total of 9 years. And the last 2.5 years, I was absolutely miserable, dealing with panic attacks, anxiety attacks. I literally had no friends at all. No matter what I did, I couldn't. It was like I couldn't find my place there. It was terrible. We were suffering financially and like anything we'd ever known. I had 3 young daughters that were not happy either. And my husband was doing everything he could to do what he was supposed to do. Everything was just falling apart. It was a mess. And I kept complaining and complaining and complaining, like, God, you see that we've done this for you. Like, don't you see? And da 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 da. And where are you? And why? And it was just horrible. It was probably one of the hardest seasons of my life, and I'm one of. And anyway, at one point, I had this sensation, this knowing that God wanted me to hand him my life all over again. And I can still remember laying flat on my face, crying, just sobbing with tears and saying, God, fine, I give you everything. I will put my trust in you and you alone. I lay my life before you as an offering. Do whatever you want. If you decide that we have to stay here for the rest of our lives, all I ask is at least make my girls happy, like help them to have a good life. That was it. That was all I wanted. Will you please just take care of them? And I will change my attitude and I will make myself, you know, by your grace, as happy as I possibly can. I give up. I'm not going to fight to get back to the States anymore. I mean, because we had been trying for a while. We had no money to get back. We had no way back. And I said, God, I don't know what you want, but I surrender all. That night when I totally and completely let go, I had my first and only dream of flying. And I was flying in that house that we lived in, the house that I had been cursing by saying, oh, this house is a prison, because it was so hot. It was so hot. We had no air conditioning and it was just made poorly. And so there was no ventilation going through, you know, no breeze going through the house. It was terrible, terrible. And I dreamt I was flying in my prison, so to speak. I was so happy and so joyful. And even now when I think about that dream, I could feel the sensation of what it was like to fly. And I woke up from that dream knowing that I had truly surrendered and that I could be okay and I would be okay in this place, on this island. I would be okay because he was with me and he would show me. He would be the streams in the desert and he would cause me to sing and cause me to laugh and he was going to take care of me. And I knew I'm going to be okay. My family's going to be okay. It was 2 weeks later, 2 weeks, you guys, after a couple years of trying to figure out how to get out of there and should we get out of there and blah, 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 a miracle happened. I won't get into that. And God moved us to California, to Redding, where we then spent 9 years there and absolutely loved it there. Grew and it was just a beautiful, beautiful season of our lives. But I don't know when that would have happened, or I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't said, God, I'm going to trust you. Even if that means I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life, I'm going to trust you. And so I say that to you to encourage you. You can't rack your brain and figure things out and try to make changes. You have to be led by his spirit. And sometimes letting go is hard because it makes us feel out of control, but that's good. We need to be out of control because he wants to be in control. He is a good shepherd. He makes a way in the wilderness, but he makes that way because we lay down and we surrender it all and truly mean it and not have a backup plan. The wilderness causes us to be complete in him, like we said in Colossians. To be free from overthinking, to be free from control and fear and worldly things. This is a blessing. God, forgive us for calling it a curse. And we see the excitement on your face, Lord, that if we would just take a deep breath and turn our eyes to you and let go, that you would lead us through this season into deeper intimacy with you, and an inner freedom unlike anything else we have ever experienced. I bless you guys. I pray that this has encouraged your heart. If it has, please leave a review and share this podcast. I don't do a lot of advertising at all, really, at all. Word of mouth is how you would get this to anyone else who you think it would bless. Love you guys. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining me on the Breathing God podcast. If this show has ministered to you, please consider leaving a review right here. And if you think the podcast will bless someone else, please share it. You can find help for anxiety, sign up for my newsletter, and find lots of other goodies on my website, GretchenRodriguez.com.